Shabbos Perek Tes Mishnah Gimel continues our journey into the strange world of Tumah. In this case, the Tumah that is dealt with at the very beginning of the Mishnah, in just the first sentence of the Mishnah, is the Tumah of male seed. When seed comes out of the male, that is metame objects, garments, leather goods, and people as well. And so when two people have marital relations, they are both tame afterwards. There are other issues with what happens if the male seed actually is emitted later, maybe much later, delayed after the act of marital relations is finished. And I hope that's sensitive enough for all of our listeners. Minayin lepoleta shichvas zera. From where do we know that a woman who emits shichvas zera by yom hashlishi on the third day after she was together with her husband, shehi tameya, that she becomes tameh? A woman's body is a strange and wondrous thing, and it's possible that somehow this shichvas zera was inside, and it took several days to eventually be emitted again. So how do we know she would become tameh even if it's 3 days later? And we use a pasuk as an explanation for that. Shenemar, it says in Sefer Shemos, before the Bnei Yisrael received the Torah on Har Sinai, they were told, Heyu nechonim l'shlosh es yamin, be prepared for 3 days. Al tigashu el isha, do not be intimate with a woman. God told the Jewish men to abstain from being intimate with women for 3 days before the Torah was given, because shichvas zera might be emitted by the woman on the day the Torah was given, and she would be disqualified from attending Har Sinai because she would have become tameh. So this shows us that there's a 3-day limit when she could still become tameh, even at the outside on the third day as well. If it had been more than 3 days prior to that date, then she wouldn't have become tameh. So that teaches us the outside window for this sort of thing. Minayin shemar chitzin es hamila by yom hashlishi shechal lios b'shabbos. From where do we know that we can bathe a mila, meaning a young infant boy who got a bris mila, on the third day following the bris, even if it falls, shechal lios b'shabbos, even if it falls on Shabbos? Again, we're looking for a pasuk to kind of show this sort of thing. On the third day after the bris, the baby is still considered to be critically ill as a sort of presumption. We know the general rule that it takes 3 days to heal from anything, and a bris is a very traumatic sort of thing to heal from. So how would we know that even if it's Shabbos, on the third day that you can boil water to bathe the baby, because warm water will cure the baby and help him heal faster? Shenemar vayhi b'yom hashlishi. It says in Bereishis, in the discussion of Shechem, and it was on the third day after all the men of Shechem had circumcision, b'yosam ko'avim, when they were in pain. So we see that the third day after circumcision is one where post-operative danger is going to still remain in the case of the men of Shechem, and also of the child as well. Nowadays, the Shulchan Aruch says that we don't hold this way anymore. We don't hold that you need to have the hot bath or the warm bath on the third day afterwards, so consult your local Orthodox rabbi. Another question. Minayin shekoshrin lashon shel zahoris. From where do we learn in a pasuk that a strip of red wool is going to be tied b'rosh sa'ir hamishtaleach on the head of the goat that is sent out? On Yom Kippur in the Beis HaMikdash, they brought a carbon chatos for the entire tzibur, for everybody. Two goats, one which was going to be shechted, and one which was going to be mishtaleach la'azazel, which was sent out into the wilderness to be thrown off of a stony mountain off the top, and this is called the Seir Azazel. So the Seir Azazel, there would be a strip of wool that would be split in two. One half would be on the goat's head, one half would be on a rock on top of the mountain. Then you would push the goat down the mountain, and the wool would turn from red to white as a sign that the sins would be forgiven. So what is the biblical origin of this? Shenemar, it says in Yeshaya, and this is in the Haftorah, Parshas Chazon, if your sins will be like red, like crimson, kashela yalbinu, they will become white as snow. And this is a reference to the red wool that turns white when the goat's body is being pulverized on its way down the mountain. Mishnah Dalet. Minayin l'sicha shehi kishisiyah b'yom HaKippurim. While we're on the subject of Yom Kippur, from where do we learn that anointing oneself with oil, which is one of the 5 inuyim you can't do, is going to be considered just like drinking on Yom Kippur in terms of it being usur? Drinking, on the other hand, is punishable by kares. Anointing would frankly not. But how do we know that the prohibitions are going to be parallel? And this is going to be an asmachta. Afal bi she'ein raya l'davar. So the Mishnah says there is no actual proof for this, But Zecher Lodover, there is at least a hint of it. Shenemar, because it says in Tehillim, but Tavo Kamayim Bikirbo, and it came like water into his insides, the Hashemen Ba'atzmosav, and like oil into his bones. So we see that oil being anointed on the body, on the bones, I suppose, is compared to drinking water as well. We do not know that this is conclusive evidence that it would be drinking, because maybe anointing the surface on the outside of the body is more like washing the outside of the body, and the water would enter the body through pores. So it's not really conclusive proof the way some of the other psukim were. And now we are going to go back into the Malachas of Shabbos, including carrying when we get back.